Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Once again, we just thank and give you all the praise. We adore you for this moment. We ask the Holy Spirit of God for inspiration, wisdom, revelation, insight once again into your word, demanding God that even God, my hearers, my listeners, will be able, God, to partake of the fellowship of the word and the spirit, bringing healing to our souls and understanding, O God of glory, to our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, you can be seated. Be seated. Hallelujah. So we continue with our series on hearing the voice of God. And this is part 3 in the Bible study section of it, with the same text from John chapter 10, 27 to 28. That's our main text. Hallelujah. And so he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's a text we're dealing with, and we've been trying to explain extensively what Jesus meant by this, and the benefit as to who are the people that are qualified to receive this benefit from him. Give them eternal life, not to pluck them out of his hand. All of that. And last week we touched on very specific passage, which was actually Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2, in relation to the voice of God that have been coming to humanity through the prophets down to our time, which has to do with this day. You know, we read last week and he said, if you hear the voice today, harden not your heart. And we'll be able to find out what exactly the day stood for or stands for. We said expressly the day was not talking, and it's not talking about some 24-hour period, but it has to do with right from Jesus' days, but specifically the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to this hour. We explain extensively that this is the last day. When we talk about the last day, we're dealing with how God begins to walk in humanity, dealing with the dimension of the Father, the dispensation of the Father, dispensation of the Son, and then that of the Holy Spirit, which is the last dispensation, in quote. And that is why the Bible tells us that if you sin against the Holy Ghost, you cannot be forgiven. In other words, if you sin against the Father, you can be forgiven. Sin against the Son, you can be forgiven. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven. And why Jesus said that is simply because they blasphemed or they spoke against the Holy Spirit, saying that he was casting a devil with the spirit of Beelzebub. Is that okay? And why Jesus is using that word again there, that you cannot be forgiven, is simply because it is only through the Holy Spirit in this dispensation that you can get back to God. And I explained that again extensively, making us understand that the word Father, or the title Father, is not, when you look at the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these are titles. They are not three people. Is that okay? They are not three people. They are titles of the same person, you know, which is God, you see. But God can manifest, or had manifested as a Father, and then he manifested as a Son. You know, Jesus is God in the flesh. Then he manifested as the Holy Spirit. So what he's trying to say is, if you deny his redemptive power as a Father, you can be forgiven, because there's another chance. And then If you deny his coming to us as a son, you can be forgiven because there's yet another chance. But if you deny his coming as the Holy Spirit, there is no other option. That's why he said you cannot be forgiven. But the day you accept the Holy Spirit and he directs you to believe in the Son, you are forgiven. So in the true sense, there is no unpardonable sin. Only as you keep hardening your heart against the Holy Spirit. But once you accept the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Amen? All right. So let's look at this question. Why is God speaking to mankind? Like we did from the book of Hebrews. So go back again to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. Why is God speaking to mankind? Hallelujah. And we read this from the Amplified Translation, Hebrews 1, verse number 1. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. And then, but in the last days, has he spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he hath appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and riches of the space and the ages of time. Hallelujah. If you will. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged all of this thing together in order through the Son. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is saying here. So, like I said last week, all the prophets, they have one or two things to say, but none of them have the fullness of what they got to say. So all the bit of revelation that God gave to them, they finally find their complete expression who in Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. All right. Amen. So we're looking at why is God speaking to man using this prophet up to this hour. You know, it's all by the plans of God for the redemption of mankind. All of his voices, all of his attempt to talk to mankind was the arrangement to see that her man is redeemed back to the place of full glory and dominion and authority. I have already told people this. No matter what you teach, no matter what you want to believe in and preach, you can't get away from Genesis 1, 26, 27. Everything goes back to that. Because you see, that is God's ultimate mind for mankind. So, God have not changed his mind in that. All of the theory that people propounded that maybe one devil tried to do something, wrestle power from God, all of those things, they're just religious doctrines. They have nothing to do with the ultimate plan of God. If you know that in the Bible says in the beginning God, that means before anything ever existed, God existed. Right? So everything came out of God. Everything in creation, everything came out of God, in quote. What I mean to say is, the devil did not create himself. And so the devil did not have authority over God to thwart the plans of God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. So God keeps speaking to mankind in relation to redemption. So he spoke as a father, speaking to the children of Israel, using the prophet and talking to them as a father. And all of those things was to say, I come to redeem you back to the place of glory, to the place where Adam fell from. That is the ultimate place God has for man. Let man have dominion over everything that God had made. Amen. So man fell from that realm of dominion. So the ultimate thing is God wants to bring man back to that place of dominion to have rule over everything that God has created. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. So the power of redemption is what God is dealing with, be it by being through the prophets and other means by quick God. And finally, find the expression through the Son. Hallelujah. All of those things that he has in mind, the fine expressions through the Son, they all accumulated in the Son. So everything that any of those prophets were speaking about, they find here in the Son. In other words, redemption will find its fulfillment in and through who? Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. Give me Revelation, Romans 11, I think verse 36. Let me read something there. Romans 11. Look at it. Okay, take it from the Amplified. Let's look at that. Amplified translation. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. For all things originate with him, and came from him. All things live through him, and all things centered in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. Did you get that? All things came from him. All things centered around him. All things is going back to him. So it's like a circle. Everything is going back to God. Everything. But this him you see there is talking about Jesus Christ in the true sense. Praise the living God. All right. So if you need to hear the voice of God, like we said in the very beginning, you want to hear the voice of God, you can only hear the voice through the Son. Today, that's what we mean. So the Son is speaking to us today. Because all of those things with the prophet said before, define their combination in who? In Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. So the essence of God speaking to mankind is a manifestation of his love to the world by giving a revelation of his will relative to the salvation of mankind. And so preparing the way through a long train of years, if you will, which are meant to introduce the most glorious being, which is his own Son. In the fullness of time, I was manifested in the flesh in order to accomplish all those visions and prophecies given by the prophets. Are you following what I'm saying? All of the plans of God find fulfillment in Christ. So when God was talking, it was just guiding men or guiding all of us to come to that place of full realization at the end of redemption that is to be found in who? In Christ Jesus. Praise the living God. Are we here? Okay. So in this instant we find that the prophecy they were supplying, if you will, everything that has to be in Christ, but when you find to Christ, when you come to Christ, you miss nothing in terms of all of those prophecies that were being given. The complete supply, nothing is missing when you come to Jesus Christ. This is in order to perfect the great plan that he has for mankind. Hallelujah. And now remember, the only thing that he did in this context now is to die. And you know the meaning of that. He being a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So what seemingly separated man from getting to the place of dominion was taken away through his cross. Praise the living God. And yet again, the Bible said this was done in sundry times. Like several times now. So here again, the word is intended to point out the imperfect state of divine revelation in the Old Testament. That lack completion. Everything that was being spoken then was not complete. Nor can it be without the new being considered sufficiently, perfectly put together. And again, you find that expression in who? In Jesus Christ. We have to do with the divine will of God. So he employed a lot of methods, in quotes, then, such as by angelic visitations, visions, dreams, mental impressions, which are some of the things we are going to be considering when we're dealing with hearing the voice of God. As at that time, in the old times, I mean, he could speak through dreams, he could speak through angels, he could speak through impressions, mental impressions, he could speak through visions, or through the prophet, if you will. Hallelujah. So these are some of the dimensions by which God has been speaking. But like we are saying, all these things were done in the old times, but they now find expression in who? In the Son. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in trying to come to the place of understanding how, why is God talking? I'm trying to say, why is God talking to mankind? Why did God start talking to mankind? He keep on speaking because he was revealing his ultimate plan of redemption, which is found in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, we're going to be, in the course of this study, we're going to be dealing with the various ways by which God speaks to man. And then we're going to come to the place why man don't hear God when he's talking to us. Whether it is dream or visions, why is it that we don't hear God? So, let's look at the book of Numbers chapter 12. Verse number 6. Numbers 12, verse number 6. And he said, hear now my words, the Lord is speaking. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. And I want you to get that. Verse number 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. And then the next thing he's saying, verse number 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So with him will I speak mouth to mouth. In other words, he's talking of immediately. He communicates to him immediately. It was not like, you know, if you can have a dream in the night and you're trying to find the meaning when you wake up from the dream. You can have a vision. And you wake up, you try to interpret the vision you got in the night. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he's saying, I speak with Moses face to face or mouth to mouth, what it means is, I communicate my mind to him without delaying, or for him to, not in dark speeches, not in parables. He understands me. I talk with him one-on-one. Is that okay? So one of the ways by which God speaks to us is mouth to mouth, if you will. Mouth to mouth means direct communication. It's not using symbols. Is that okay? It's not using analogy. It's not using parables. This is direct speaking. Not the one you're going to get into interpretation. Not in terms of visionary symbols. To be presented in a fanciful manner. No, he talked directly, just the way I'm talking to you now. So I can talk to you, you can talk back to me. That's mouth to mouth. No ambiguity. So one of the ways by which God communicates to us is in the dimension. If you find the grace, you can directly talk to God and God be talking back to you. That's the level of relationship that you can have with God. Hallelujah. So, when he used the word apparently, they also mean plainly and surely. Not in dark speeches or parables or similitude or forms. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me show you something. Exodus 33 verse 20, for instance. Let's look at that. Exodus 33 verse 20. Exodus 33:20, the book of Exodus 33 verse number 20. With therefore Exodus 33 verse 20, the book of Exodus. Okay. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me or live. Now remember, Moses was trying to ask God, amen, that I need to see you. I need to kind of talk with you, whatever the case may be. Your presence will go with us. If your presence will not go, we will not go. Don't send me on this journey if your presence is not going to go with us. So he was saying, okay, I need to hear from you. I need to see with you. But here, he made something. When you read down the scripture, the Bible say he showed him his backside. What he meant to share was, he was showing him the Old Testament, which is his backside, which is his shadow, but his real face is in Jesus Christ. Do you understand this? Okay. Look at John chapter 1 verse 18. John 1 verse 18. Praise the Lord. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Did you see it now? The Son can only be seen through, the Father can only be seen through the Son. So when he told Moses, you can see my face, he was actually talking about Christ. So I'll show you the Old Testament, I'll give you all the miracles, whatever you want, the Old Testament, but the reality of what all of those things stands for is finding who? In my Son. Praise the Lord. So that is just the main thing I need you to get to see on that passage. All right, so here we're seeing that the Lord is speaking through the Son, which is now his face. By implication, if you have to hear God today face to face, simply means you can hear him through who? Jesus Christ. Because that is his face, and that's his mouth. Presently. Hallelujah. Why is God talking to us? Let's take another scripture on this. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 36. Deuteronomy 4 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Praise God. Take it from the Amplified. 36, Amplified Translation. Out of heaven, he made you hear his voice, that he might correct, discipline, and admonish you. And on earth, he made you see his great fire, and you heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. So I want you to see those words there. Why is God speaking? Why do you think he likes to speak to mankind? Other than revealing his pattern or plan of salvation, the main thing you receive from God when he talks to you is what? Correction, discipline, and what? Admonition. So now, if you are taking a decision on what to do, and you can go to God for questioning as to whether you should go ahead or not, God is bound to give you instruction. What you are supposed to get is divine direction about the plans and the businesses that you intend to undertake as a son of God. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. Instruction in terms of even business. And that's something we think is not supposed to be, or maybe I don't know how to put it. But you remember, how many of you remember the case of Jacob in the house of Laban? When Laban was cheating Jacob out of his wages. You remember the story? Right. And we're meant to understand that the night, God appeared to Jacob and showed him a simple experiment. Cut a poplar tree, put rings on it, put it on a trough. When the animals are coming to graze, they'll be looking at it. And at the end of the day, when the animal brought forth, there were rings on all their body. And the understanding that anyone that has specs belongs to Jacob. So we'll find that the ones that were very robust, all of them had specs in their body, and they belong to Jacob. Now the question is, how did Jacob get his wages? Through the instruction God gave to him. So, and that was business. So you see, God can give you instruction in your business area on how to become productive than the way it is now. So these are part of the advantages of hearing the voice of God. It gives you instruction. It gives you directions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good. So in every endeavor, other than speaking to us, like we're saying, in relation to the plans of salvation that he has in mind for us, we find again that God speaks to us based on whatever thing we are doing. I was in the office just now, and I was just there meditating, and he gave me instruction from the book of Acts, a passage to go through. He gives you direction anytime, anywhere. So when it comes to us, we're going to progress. You definitely have some dreams which are directly from God. Okay, let's just take the book of Job. Job 13 or 33 rather. Look from 13 to 14. Book of Job. Why do men contend against him? That's God. For he does not give account of any of his actions. Sufficient for all, it should be known that it is he who does them. For God does reveal his will. He speaks not only once, but more than once, even though man do not regard it, including you, Job. What's the next thing? One may hear God's voice in a dream, in a vision of the night. And when deep sleep falls on men, while slumbering upon the bed. What's the next thing? Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, terrifying them with warnings. Is that okay? Now, the King James will give you, God speaks once, yea, twice. In other words, if you're having a dream from God, and the dream is repeating itself once, twice. Now, for example, you see the case of Joseph. He had a dream the first time. The 11th sheep bowed down to his own one sheep. Remember that? And then the second dream he had was 11 stars and the sun and the moon were bowing down to him. So you see, it's one dream, but coming in different dimensions, showing that Joseph was going to be a ruler, ruling over his own family and even the parents. And that's what we see here. So God could be speaking to you, and he gives you a dream. Now, why he says silly that instruction is that you are too busy in the day to hear when God is talking. Your mind is too clogged with people's thoughts and sometimes, how do I put it, quarreling, debates, arguments, all of those things that distract you from hearing God when he's talking to you. So he allows you to go to sleep. So when you go to sleep, he now comes and begins to communicate to your subconscious mind. And then you begin to see what he's talking to you as dreaming. That has God talking to you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So because you're too busy in the day, so it allows you to go to sleep. Not just sleep, you have to be deep sleep. That's why it's important that you don't play with your sleep, especially if you're one of such people who don't hear God in the daytime, in quote. When you go to sleep, make sure you're really sleeping. Because that could be a moment that God wants to communicate his mind to you. About your life, about the things you need to do, about the next phase of life. It communicates this thing to you through your dreams. Hallelujah. Are we here? So that is where, if these things are coming in, we're going to deal more with this. But if this thing are coming in, we're talking about hearing the voice of God, you must be able to have the spirit of discernment to know his voice at this thing from your own mind's voice. This is very crucial. Your conscience. And other voices. Look at John 10 verse 5. John 10 verse 5. Hallelujah. John chapter 10 verse number 5. Give me the King James. And the voice of strangers, as he prayed, that's what he's trying to say. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, this is what I want you to pick there. What I want you to pick there is that there are strange voices that also conflict with the voice of God in our lives. And these strange voices, you must be able to discern. When it is the voice of God, you should know. When it is not the voice of God, you should be able to know. So Jesus said, the voice of strangers, they will not follow. They know my voice and I know them. And the voice of strangers. So ability to know the voice of God. When God is talking, you should be able to know that this is God talking. When your mind is talking, you should be able to know that it is my mind that is trying to deceive me. Jeremiah, we said, the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? So there are voices that come in your mind. You should be able to know if this is God's impression or my mind is playing trick on me. Especially if you are taking decisions. Like we're going to see as we progress. Sometimes you go to God, you want to ask God for certain answers. You know, you bring some questions before God, you're trying to find a solution, but your mind will be playing tricks on you. God knows your mind, what you want, what you're looking for. You are not allowing him to give you his own mind. What do you think he's going to do? He will answer you according to the idols of your heart. We're going to find that in the book of Ezekiel. He will let you have your way, not his way. You might think, okay, I've prayed. No, it's not because you prayed. God is not going to answer you when you have idols in your mind. What do you mean idol? When you've already made up your mind, you just want God to rubber stamp your decision. Amen? So you need a lot of discernment when it comes to hearing the voice of God. Who is talking to me? Even when you're dreaming, could this dream be from God or not? You should be able to differentiate the dream that comes from natural circumstance and the one that's come from God by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, when you read the book of Acts, it said, this thought was spoken by Prophet Joel in the last day upon my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall dream dreams and see visions. It's not necessarily visions in terms of, you know, how do I describe that? Vision about your life, vision about your business. The real visions that you're supposed to have is the visions of God. And that is why you see that people like Abraham had the visions of God. People like Moses had the visions of God. When you see that he saw the vision, the tree was burning, fire on the tree, but the tree was not burning, was not consumed. That was a vision. God was getting his attention. God wanted to talk to him. So the vision we're actually talking about in the book of Acts have nothing one bit to do with our personal vision about our lives. That's not what he's talking about. But it has to do with the vision of God. God giving you directions. Hallelujah. And they talk about dreaming dreams. But what I'm saying now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you should be able, as a child of God, as a believer, come to that place where you can be able to distinguish between your own voice or the voice of God, or you having dreams, how you begin to know whether this is your own dream or this is something. Let me give you an example again. A dream that is just natural in a way, though divine, to tell you that sometimes your own thought can give you dreams. Now, this is it. In the book of Acts chapter 10, you remember the story of Peter, right? When the basket came and the Bible says, the voice said, kill and eat. And there were ropes tied in the four corners of that basket that came from heaven. I used to joke with that. a lot in my early times. You know, I said, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot of reptiles there, because the basket came from heaven and there were a lot of reptiles inside the basket, and the voice said, kill and eat. Crocodiles, snakes, everything. You understand that? But he said the reptiles actually were representing the Gentile nations. Right? And so God was saying, you can begin to walk on the Gentile nation and get it converted unto me. That was an instruction that God actually intended to give to Peter. But I want you to get to Genesis. How did that dream come to be? The Bible said Peter was hungry and he was waiting when the food was being prepared. Is that okay? Come on, are you here with me? Right. So the genesis to his having that dream was because he was naturally hungry. And so sometimes you can naturally be hungry and you end up having some dreams and you are wondering where the dream is coming from. Except God wants to take that opportunity to communicate to you. You find that you are actually going to have some dreams, you're hungry, and you're eating in the dream, and you wake up now, and then the next thing, maybe somebody's telling you the devil wants to poison you, that's why you're eating the dream. You were hungry before you went to bed. Amen. So these are natural things. You should be able to distinguish between the natural dreams of visions and the voice that is coming from God. That's what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Very, very important. Very crucial. You know, sometimes your heart can play tricks on you. Maybe you'll be thinking, oh, I would like to travel overseas. I would like to travel overseas. And what's the next thing that's going to happen? You're going to have a dream. Amen? And you see yourself maybe in the U.S. or see yourself in Italy. You know, because you're thinking about that. It's your thoughts. And you'll be wondering, yes, I told you here and I'll repeat it again. God can answer your thoughts just as the devil can answer your thoughts. Thoughts are very powerful. You know, Monday, we're talking about prayers and all of those things. And they were asking questions. I just didn't want to answer. But you see, prayer is not only when you sweat. God does not only answer the prayers that produce sweat. He answered prayers that has to do with your thoughts, your thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think from the scripture that Anna was sweating in the temple. Only her lips were moving. That means she was simply soliloquizing, talking to herself and talking to God. No noise. But God heard what he was saying. Am I right? Praise the Lord. The lips, the Bible says, were moving, but no audible voice. But God had that. Okay, let's look at the case of Joseph, like I used to give you as an example. Matthew chapter 1, reading 20 to 21 or so. Remember, the Bible made us understand that when Mary became pregnant, Joseph was saying, I'm not going to allow this woman to be disgraced, that she betrothed to me and now she's pregnant, so let me quickly put her away. It was a simple thought. And the Bible said an angel came and said, oh no, Joseph, don't do that. That which is high is of the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember that? How did God answer Joseph? Through his thoughts. He was just thinking. He wasn't praying. So, scripture will say, God will do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. That's why your thoughts have to be purified. Always. If you really want God to respond to your thinking, because it's not going to respond to negative thoughts. Get it right. Except he wants to correct you. Except he wants to redirect your footsteps. Very important. Hallelujah. Give me Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, verse number 8. King James. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He told you what to think about. Can you take it from another translation? Maybe a simpler one, not amplify. I'll give a too long thing. Okay. In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and what? Honorable. Fill your mind with those things. Are you there with me? So, when you think in this way, you see God responding to your thoughts. This is beyond you shouting and crying and all of that. Now, I mean, it's not bad when you must cry praying. It's not bad. I'm not against that. But no, it's not a formula to reach God to get answers. Otherwise, tell me, why do you think the Bible says, pray without season? If you must pray without season, that means you can't even go to the toilet. You can't even cook your food. You can't go to work. Because that's what you may pray without season. Don't stop praying. So how is that going to be possible? Through this, God will respond to your thoughts as respond to your prayers. So to pray without season means even in your place of work, you have noble thoughts. Hallelujah. Are you following me? For God will do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. Your prayers and your thoughts, they are all equal before God. Praise the living God. So the question you ask yourself is, now I'm trying to make you understand that you should be able to separate. You have a strong spirit of discernment to know. Very crucial to know if this is from God or this is from my flesh or this is from the devil, if you will. You must be able to distinguish that. So when wrong thoughts are coming to you sometime, you should be able to know. This is my mind playing tricks on me. And I'm saying, if such negative thought fills your heart, you're definitely going to have dreams and visions, but this time not from God. Is that okay? Remember, I'm saying God communicates to us through these mediums, but we should be able to discern if it is God that is talking or our mind or the devil. Very crucial, very important. In my early times, I used to listen to Hal White a lot. In those days, just buy battery into my little in the village, you know. And I would play in these messages. I would lie down listening to messages, and I would see myself in Chicago. I'll be in conferences with them. You know, I wake up, the message is finished, but I would still be in the conference. So I wake up and discover that I was in a dream, but I was in Chicago. So what is that supposed to mean? I was feeding my soul with the atmosphere of the conference. So what you fill your mind with produces dreams. That's what I'm trying to make you see. That's why, depending on the kind of films you're watching, depending on the kind of messages you're listening to, they're very important. Because your eyes and your ears, they are this gate to your soul. Your eyes, your ears are gates to your soul. And the Bible says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, then the King of glory shall come in. What's a gate like? Your eyes, your ears, right? They feed your soul, what you see and what you hear. So if you are good at feeding your mind with negative things, you are definitely bound to have negative dreams. These are the things that we are receiving. Amen. So, I always advise people, as children of God, most time before you go to bed, the last thing you do is to cleanse your soul. How do you do that? You read through a passage of scripture or listen to a message. very important to clean out of the debris of that which you have accumulated in the daytime. You clean out your soul. You clean, wash it by reading, even if just one passage, or by reading. For me, I used to go through one of my very good friends in the U.S. He has devotional, you know, old Haman. So I go through devotionals in the mornings. I go through them in the evening before I go to bed, because I normally send two devotionals, one for leaders and one for normal. So I just go through at least one before I go to bed. No matter how busy I am, I try to go through one of the devotionals. You do that to cleanse your soul. It could drop it. Even if it is just one scripture you are reading in the night, it could prepare you to receive God's instruction in the night season. Are we together here? Remember, we're dealing with the issue of hearing what? The voice of God and the means by which He communicates. So, let's just move on a little bit. A few more minutes. Oh, okay. Why don't we hear God's voice? Remember we said God communicates through audible voice, mouth to mouth to Moses, visions, dreams. Is that okay? Right. And all of this we are discussing now. But why is it that we don't hear the voice of God? What are the hindrances, the inhibitors? Hallelujah. Isaiah 42 verse 19. Isaiah 42 verse 19. Am I correct? Oh, come on. You almost shocked me. Yeah, we wrote the person on the board. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Hallelujah. You know what he's trying to say there? Okay, let me read another scripture. NIV this time, look at Ezekiel 12 verse number 1 and 2. I'll read it up to verse 5 and 6. I want to show you something, why we don't hear the voice of God. So go with me to the book of Ezekiel 12 verse number 1, NIV. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, You are living among a rebellious people. Mark that word. One of the things why you don't hear God is rebellion. You are living among rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see. Ears to hear, but do not hear. For they are rebellious people. In other words, God is speaking, but they don't receive the instruction. They rebel against what God says. Hallelujah. You read the scriptures, God will be speaking to you from the scripture, but you can't take into consideration what the scriptures is saying to build your life on. You live in your rebellion. That's one of the reasons why you don't hear God accurately. Verse 3. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as a watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are rebellious house. Verse 4. During the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings, pack for an exile. Then in the evening, while they are watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch, dig through the wall and take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulder as you are watching, and carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. You know what he's trying to tell them? Do this demonstratively, perhaps they will learn. But what you are going to be doing is to tell them that they are going to be taken into captivity. Since they can't hear the word, because they rebel against my simple instruction, therefore I'm going to take them into captivity. They are rebellious people. So, pack your load and act like you are going on exile, because I'm going to take every one of them to exile. So this was a sign prophet unto Israel. Are you listening to me? So now, God has spoken. This is where it happens. That God sometimes talks to you through the word, through the message, you will receive it. He's going to use sign instruction to talk to you. If perhaps you're able to design. So because hearing, you don't hear. See, you don't see. You're blind. So Isaiah 40 said, who is blind but my servant? Talking about Israel. Who is deaf but my servant? The messenger that I've sent. But they won't listen. They won't hear when I talk to them. Therefore, I'm going to send them into exile. So Ezekiel, act like you're going on exile. Carry a load. Begin to go. That is the way they are going to be taken into exile. So why is it that we don't hear God? Rebellion. We are very rebellious people. And so when God is speaking, in fact, it's like God gets tired of speaking. Sorry to say it. Is that okay? So the next thing, you suffer for not taking instruction on what God is saying. Remember I read in Deuteronomy? He said he speaks to you for direction, for discipline, for correction, for rebuke. Is that okay? Right. This is why he talks to you. He corrects you. He disciplines you. But when you don't listen, the next thing, he gives you punishment. That punishment is still discipline. So like when they went to exile, it was still discipline. Is that okay? Hallelujah. And so when that happens, what's the next thing you think about? Give me a scripture. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Give me verse number 5. Okay, you can go to verse 4 to deliver such a one. Now, such a one here is, here was the brother that slept with the father's concubine. Is that okay? Right. And this is the instruction that Paul gave. I want to give you the true meaning. Go ahead. And he said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, what? That the spirit may be saved when? In the day of the Lord. So is Satan a bad instrument here? Talk to me. You see that? When the children of Israel were taken to captivity, you can't blame Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah 25 called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. Here you find that Satan is an instrument in the hands of God. For this man to be saved, for his flesh to be destroyed, he has to be delivered unto who? Unto Satan. That is the right person to discipline this guy. Is that making sense? Now, there is no way this man is going to bind Satan and then Satan will be fleeing. No. You're just wasting your time. You can't even cast out Satan from this man's life if you want to do deliverance. Why? Because God instructed it. It has to be done. The assignment of Satan must be accomplished for this man's spirit to be saved. If you cast out Satan from this man, you are not serving his spirit. Am I making sense here? Why? Because the man has failed to take instruction. He lived in rebellion. And so he has to be punished. He has to be disciplined for his spirit to be what? To be saved. So why is it that we don't hear from God? Through the spirit of what? Rebellion. And it's very, very prevalent today within the body of Christ, within the church, within the homes. We are rebellious to the things of God. And because we are so rebellious, he doesn't talk to us anymore. Because like casting precious pearls upon swine, he will continue to talk like that. The next thing he does, he allows Satan to buffet you, to discipline you, so that you can turn back to him. Because when the punishment becomes so strong, what's the next thing you do? You cry back to God. And this is exactly what happened in the whole book of Judges. The whole realm of Judges, when we see God is in Samson, Jephthah, Deborah, all of those things. Why? The Bible says God gives them judges, deliver them from Philistines. They come back to rebelliousness. They go into idolatry. God allowed the Philistines to come and torment them. Allow the Assyrian Midianite to come in. Why? Anytime they pursue God, he allows the enemy to come in. And when they cry back to God, he raises up a judge again to defeat those people. So a cycle of up and down. That's the way they're going. That's the whole book of Judges was a book of a rebellious people that were going out of the will of God, and then God allows the enemy to come into their homes. Did you get this? So this is what rebellion does. Now the voice of God set you free from this. Is that okay? Hearing the voice of God set you free from this kind of dimension of life where Satan will not be the instrument to torment you, so that you can cry back to God. Hearing the voice of God is so paramount, so important in our walk, in life, in whatever thing that we do. It's so vitally important. It has always been my heart cry for you, especially in the local assembly, that you come to the place where you can hear the voice of God for yourself. It's a primary identity of a true child of God. Because it takes you away from all of these issues that we're dealing with here, like being dealt with by Satan. You know, in fact, the first Timothy, Paul said the same thing, Alexander and Hymenus. He said, I've delivered them to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. I delivered them to Satan. In fact, Paul was using Satan very well in his ministry. You together? Praise the Lord. So what am I trying to say? Surrender for tonight. God can communicate to us through dreams, through vision, like he did through the prophet of old. Is that okay? And then it's our right to hear the voice of God. It's our right and a privilege for us to hear the voice of God. And you should be able to hear the voice of God regularly. Regularly. And it's important. And one of the keys by which you hear his voice is the state of your mind and the things you think about. Is that okay? Right. And we're saying one of the major things, like we have just discovered, why you don't hear the voice of God is the spirit of rebellion. If he's talking to you and you don't act on the basis of what he's asking you to do or how to live your life, then of course, it's like he shuts the door and takes you into exile. Amen? Hallelujah. And for the discipline, so that at the end of the day, when you see the pains in the state that you are going to cry back to who? To God. And that takes you back. So the idea of disciplining you is not to punish you for eternity, but to get your attention that you are not hearing his voice. Though you are hearing, you are not listening. Though you are seeing, you are not actually perceiving. So he asks, you be disciplined so that you can come back to him and receive you back to himself. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I help you tonight. We start again next week. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.com.